Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth.
Drama.
All right, all right. Welcome to a special comic book edition of Smooth Drama. I don't have my illustrious co-host, but I got my main man, BH of World of Black Heroes here, and we're going to talk some comics. So if you want to holler at us, the call-in number is 646-929-2037. Once again, the call-in number is 646-929-2037. And now I have my man, BH. What's happening? How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great.
Yeah. You know, it's been we haven't talked in a minute, but it's been a lot of stuff going on in the comic book world. You ready to set it on fire?
I'm ready to set it on fire, brother man.
All right, so I know everybody knows this summer everything's been all about this Avengers versus X-Men. I'm like, how many times are we gonna do this?
I mean, in their defense, it's only been done maybe a handful of times before,
okay,
but never this big.
Only a handful of times?
Only a handful of times.
Right.
I mean, if you want to get technical, the nitpicks would have to be stuff like the marriages that are recurrent, like, you know, Jean Grey and Scott. That grates on the nerves. That's been done like a million different times. But Avengers versus X-Men, just a handful of times. So, hey.
All
let's
right.
give them...
What we giving them?
Let's give them...
Exactly. If you got to think about it, they don't deserve the praise.
I mean, we could have another Civil War on our hands.
Mm. Another one?
Mutant on human action. No biggie.
Yeah.
It's only been a few dozen times. Not a million. The horse might be dead, but we aren't done beating it yet.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about beating this horse since we on the subject of animal abuse. What's going on?
Let's start with Avengers versus X-Men Zero. Let's start there.
Mm-hmm.
What actually happened in the issue, or what led up to the Avengers versus X-Men? There's this little redhead running around, Hope Summers. She is technically the granddaughter of Scott Summers because his son, Cable, adopted her. That's the shortest version you can possibly get because a whole bunch of time travel is involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks ass. So
yeah.
Let's just dive right in.
Yeah.
She's here in the past. Her claim to fame is that she is the messiah of the mutant race. And of course, the mutants are a dying breed since the Scarlet Witch has decided, well, she practically made them extinct during, what was it? M-Day? House of M?
That House of M.
Yeah, in the aftermath of House of M, she basically stopped any new mutants from being born. So that's the crux of the story. Mutants are dying and the Messiah is here. So Hope is basically Jesus for the mutant race.
Here's my problem, BH. Now, if they're saying they're stopping mutants from being born, now, didn't Luke Cage and I'm trying to think the wife's name.
Yeah,
didn't they have a child?
Yes, they did, but she appears to be human.
Okay, but if she has special powers, that means she's a mutant then, right?
Only if she has a mutated X gene.
Okay.
If she gets bitten by a radioactive spider, then she doesn't count.
Alright, I don't think that happened, and I'm thinking that she probably has a power or two, but I'm digressing. Go on.
Yeah, so in Avengers versus X-Men Zero, the Scarlet Witch is now back in circulation. So she is the destruction of the mutant race, and Hope is supposedly the salvation. Now, what happens here is that for Hope to save the mutant race, we're led to believe that the Phoenix is supposed to come to Earth and possess her body, and then, of course, through birth and resurrection, yada, 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 the Phoenix bores the shit out of me.
Yeah.
She's going to bring the race back somehow. Yeah.
White Jesus.
Sorry. Huh?
She's white Jesus in the female form.
And here's the kicker. She's yet another redhead with green eyes that has a connection to the Phoenix. How original can you get?
Hey, the Phoenix only like redheads. What you talking about? You ain't figured that out yet.
I guess maybe the Phoenix is Wolverine in the future. I mean, they both have this thing for redheads with green eyes that's, you know, recurring. So maybe that is his ultimate mutation, to become the Phoenix, come back and possess all of these redheads with green eyes.
Yeah. All right. Good luck with that. Now, my problem with this tired Avengers vs. X-Men series, you know, all of these people who've known each other forever, they've been allies, they've worked together, and all of a sudden, you have a Cyclops and X-Men in general who know that the Phoenix is no good. It's about one thing, destruction. Yet they're embracing it. Why don't they just embrace the Scarlet Witch and have her undo what was done and let that be it?
Technically, the Scarlet Witch can't undo, because what happened before Avengers versus X-Men was, I think it was Young Avengers Children's Crusade.
Right.
Her children sought her out. They found her in Latveria with Dr. Doom. At the time, she had the power to resurrect the mutant race. Over the course of that story, she lost that specific power. Basically, her power level has come down. Let's talk in Dragon Ball Z terms.
Mm.
At first, she could remake reality. Right now, her power is limited to just probability alteration, not whole scale reality warping like it could before. So technically, she can't do it again. And that's it.
Yeah, I get that.
Defense
but...
Cyclops here, in defense of Cyclops, who I like. Yes, the Phoenix brings destruction, but it also brings with it rebirth. I don't think Cyclops is very concerned about the destruction aspect of what's going to happen. He's more concerned with what happens afterwards. To him, if the Phoenix comes in and even kills a million humans, it really is inconsequential, because it's going to lead to the birth of millions of mutants. I think he's gotten to that point where the juice is worth the squeeze.
So basically, he's turned into Magneto now.
Very close, because you have to remember, Magneto is now on his team.
Right.
Magneto has sided with him. Magneto believes what he believes. So yes, he is the successor to Magneto, the modern X-Men mythology.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I look at it like I'm thinking that maybe if he tries to have kids, maybe you will have mutant kids.
Here's the thing. I would have thought that would have been what to do on M-Day. I thought we should have rounded up all the mutants. And this may not be very child-friendly, but I thought that we should have like a big mutant orgy.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
We could.
Hey, this is an adult show, man. We going to keep it real here. What they need to do, they just need to have hedonism at Utopia. Hey. This is what's going down. We need to increase the mutant race. So, come with it.
I would think that was the goal.
I mean,
seriously,
you got Beast.
That's the logical progression, but of course, Marvel would never go there. That's the thing.
Well, they should. It would make for fun comics. Who's the baby for? I don't know. I blacked out.
I mean, seriously, and they have all this technology at their fingertips.
Right.
They didn't even need to have a mutant orgy. They can simply get a bunch of their scientists in one room, collect DNA samples from everybody, and then we simply do a mix and match, and boom, we have a bunch of new mutants.
What we
are part of the people at Marvel, so clearly we do not know what we're talking.
I mean, well, aren't we talking about artificial insemination also?
No, but that's the thing. With the technology at their disposal, they'd be able to mix and match genes outside of the womb and basically grow the child to adulthood or to puberty and then let them out.
Right.
It's been recently a story.
Yeah, isn't that what all this time?
Well, he was until recently, because currently he's in a storyline where he's only cloned, I think, existing mutants like Cyclops, Sabretooth, yawn-inducing stuff, not stuff that you'd expect from a mad scientist.
Well, I mean, if the Skrulls can do it, where they can mix and match powers and transfer the powers, why can't these brilliant scientists that the mutants have do the same thing?
Because clearly they aren't as smart as they think they are.
Obviously, or these writers are unimaginative, but...
But that's the problem with when you're writing for mainstream comics. Because I'm sure the editor, or the person in charge currently, they have said, we cannot have any new mutants in a storyline. So it doesn't matter what type of ideas you have, you just can't. Because this is supposed to be the status quo, and that's the problem, because I'm sure other writers could have thought of brilliant ways of getting around it, but of course we have to maintain the status quo until we have a storyline to deal with said status quo, which is what Avengers versus X-Men might boil down to.
Well, I mean, as far as status quo goes, if mutants are able to commingle and be fruitful, what changes? Because that, I mean, superpowered beings being born into the world is not like a new concept.
I mean, there, Avengers versus X-Men is, execution to me is off, because as you brought up with Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, it's already been established in continuity that when two superhumans get together, or a superhuman and a human procreate, what they produce is a child with a mutated X gene. That's why the Fantastic Four have given birth to two mutants, Franklin Richards and his sister Valeria. Now, if we're going to take that to the next extreme, then clearly Jessica Jones, who can fly and has super strength, getting married to Luke Cage, who has super strength, if they procreate, then 1 + 1 is supposed to equal to 2. She's supposed to be a mutant.
Correct.
The finer details of the storyline have not worked for me, because that would have been, I think, a moral dilemma that they could have used for Luke Cage, because yes, technically, he is with the Avengers and he's led their team and he's on their side for umpteen years. But he should also be looking at the fact that my kid, chances are 99% positive that she is a mutant. Perhaps he should have joined the X-Men in defense of mutant kind, because this is going to be his legacy. This is how he lives on when he dies, through his child. But the writers, in their infinite brilliance, did not go that route. And to me, that would have made for far better reading than just having people shooting at each other.
Right.
But that's just me.
Right. Well, that's my point. I'm still thinking that they still should have been able, I mean, once it was established, okay, the Phoenix is going to come to Hope, white Jesus in female form.
White, red-haired, green-eyed Jesus.
Right. So then we have a situation where we know what the Phoenix does. Why not out in space, not on Earth, you meet up with the Phoenix? You get what I'm saying? Just some common sense stuff, and try to see what Hope can do from outer space, being that she does have the Phoenix power. She still should be able to project herself to the Earth without destroying the Earth from another planet. Wouldn't that kind of make some sense also?
Well, here's the thing. Another big problem with the AVX series is that the Phoenix doesn't seem half as powerful as it should be. I mean, the last time we saw the Phoenix in its entirety using its power was Grant Morrison, I think way back in maybe 2004, 2003. Jean Grey woke up in the future and literally held all of existence in her hands. So she was like omnipresent. She could move around just about anything. She could remove anybody from the timeline. This Phoenix in AVX seems very limited in its scope and its power. I mean, it was heading straight towards Earth. It's destroying everything in its path. But when it finally got to Earth, it just seemed so... It just seemed like a plot device, in all honesty. And as you said, we could have just sent Hope into space, have her get it. But the crux of the story is also that Hope, apparently, White Jesus wasn't ready to receive all of her power when the Phoenix was coming. Mm. That's why the Avengers needed to take her to Kun Lun and have her train with Spider-Man and Iron Fist and yada yada yada.
Yeah,
so that's a big that she wasn't ready. And if we had followed the X-Men's chain of thought, then clearly all would have happened would have been destruction.
Well, ask you this, man. What is Spider-Man training her got to do with accepting the Phoenix Force?
With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah, but, I mean, they have her carrying buckets of water.
Yep.
I'm just asking.
No, but that's exactly what happened. I haven't seen her train, per se, with Spider-Man. I don't get it. I mean, I get that. Bendis is trying to tie the mythology of Iron Fist and Kun Lun in with the Phoenix, which is an already established big franchise on its own. Mm-hmm. It's Phoenix on anything, even if it's garbage inside of the comic, and it's going to sell.
It is garbage.
Thanks to Chris Claremont and Grant Morrison, who used the Phoenix so well, it's just become this brand. So he's simply trying to tie Kun Lun, make Kun Lun far more important than it should be. As everybody was wondering, what the hell does Kun Lun have to do with the Phoenix?
They have dragons that can defeat the Phoenix.
Yeah, that dragon really didn't do so hot in the last issue, did it?
No.
Cyclops really kicked its ass, so I'm not sure how that's going to help them.
Well, I'm like, so she's going to get the power of Iron Fist, and so with one punch, the Phoenix is done.
No, but there's something else that's ridiculous about the story that I don't think anybody else has pointed out.
Speak on it.
Shaolu the dragon was defeated by Iron Fist, and all of its power went into Iron Fist.
Right.
Why is Iron Fist not more powerful? Why is he not a more central person in the fight against the Phoenix itself? Because he should have the power of a full-grown, all-powerful dragon, which is supposedly the weakness of the Phoenix. But he's been just a background character. And to me, that's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing when they said, oh, this dragon, because I'm immediately saying, okay, he has the power of the dragon, but he can't hurt the Phoenix. Would not the Phoenix, every time Iron Fist is around, like tremble, a little trepidation, just a little bit?
Apparently the Phoenix doesn't tremble.
Yeah, I mean, but the power to defeat you is right there. So even the power inside these fragmented beings, these four now beings, would the power be like, oh, this is the place where I was defeated. We got to go.
Yeah, but that's another big problem with the portrayal of the Phoenix, in that it doesn't seem to have a lot of control of its host this time, and it was already established in other Phoenix stories such as End Song, War Song, that if you are not the special host, let's call it special host, because that's the best way to classify it. If you are not the host, then the Phoenix should simply be possessing your body. The Phoenix should be in control.
Right.
So as you said, the Phoenix should have realized that, okay, here's the dragon's energy running around. Let's vaporize these motherfuckers and then let's move on.
Right.
But that didn't happen.
Well, and as you pointed out before, Iron Fist should be able to basically stare down the Phoenix and defeat the Phoenix.
He should. Because, all right, in the last Avengers versus X-Men, the claim to fame why that dragon couldn't defeat Cyclops, well, Cyclophoenix,
right,
is that it was basically a baby dragon. No, Iron Fist didn't defeat a baby dragon. He defeated
right.
the full-blown thing. So as you said, he should have the power to destroy this damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, in Marvel's infinite brilliance, you know, the show must go on. And since they're racking up such great sales numbers, it's a wonder that they aren't going to tack on another few issues on this series.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like Fear itself. Remember that went through the 12, and then it was like, well, this sells too much, so we got to have the quest.
Dude, I don't know anything about Fear itself. It's probably the only event that I stayed away from, like the plague, because by that time I was just like, God, another crossover, another big event. I was just exhausted by the time Fear itself came around.
Right.
I don't know anything about Fear itself.
Well, I can tell you they killed Bucky again. I was like, you brought him back to kill him again? I'm like, why bring him back?
They killed him because they had to get Steve back into the costume for the movie. Wasn't that it?
Yeah, but why would you even bring him back in the first place? He was good dead.
Well, here's the thing. Ed Brubaker, who brought him back, he had a brilliant idea of bringing him back, and that worked so well. But of course, in Marvel's, well, we know Marvel loves money. They're a business. They have to make money. And of course, Steve Rogers' movie is coming out. It's going to hit theaters, so they have to find some way to get rid of Bucky, but not get rid of Bucky. Because they killed him, but didn't he live? Because there's like a Winter Soldier series coming out either soon or it's currently out.
Well, they ripped...
But he's not dead.
Well, they ripped his arm off and pulled something out of his chest. So, he's got a hole in his chest.
Oh, come on. A hole in the chest never kills anybody.
Well, it killed Black Goliath. God damn it.
Well, you're right there.
He don't get a series. He has a big hole in his chest.
Only
he just got parted off, man. Come on.
That only works if you're a black dude. I mean, if you're a white dude, then you can always live without a heart.
Mm.
Or a white chick. Remember that chick that Storm ripped out her heart back in 1996, Marrow? And then like 2 months later, they had her running around and she was like, oh, I had a backup heart. So you never know. But a backup heart.
I know, because that's what most superheroes have at the crib. A backup heart just in case. So when this one gets ripped out, the alarm comes on and someone is alerted to go and get my backup heart and put it in within the next 24 hours before my body goes cold, right?
Exactly.
See?
That's the superhero gift. The heart that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Everybody has one of those. Whoo! I mean, didn't you get the memo, dude?
Obviously, I didn't.
You need to get yourself a backup heart, too.
Hey, well, I gotta get a costume first. I gotta get the right tight fitting costume with the exaggerated muscles on it. Like, you know, there's a few guys running around in the United States here that are like superheroes. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very disturbing.
Yeah, we have real Phoenix Jones. There's quite a few of these cats. They're running around in costumes.
Phoenix Jones, but some of these guys are just crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even want to get into it because that's a whole other drama.
Well, I mean, no, see, they watch the comics and they're like, I can do that.
I mean, but seriously. I don't think that, well, I can't knock it because I've never tried it. I mean, if you want to go out there, put on tight spandex, look like a superhero and fight crime, then more power to you, but that's not my thing.
You mean look like the superhero that stars in the next episode of Glee?
I mean, you said it. I didn't.
Well, I was saying.
I mean, seriously, some of these guys, they really look dumb, for lack of a better word. It's not a good look. It's not a good look.
No.
And I really doubt that chicks dig guys who walk around with pepper spray. It's just not cool. It's not a good look. Not a good look.
Why are you such a hater?
I mean, I'm jealous. I don't have the superhero body, so.
you secretly want to wear the tights. That's what it is.
Oh, my God. You found my secret shame.
Well, on that note,
never the superhero.
Yeah,
oh,
we gonna go on break on that note. This is my homie's Radio Galaxy. All day I dream about spacing up. We'll be right back.
together you got smooth drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word, and I'm joined by my man, BH of World of Black Heroes, and we, of course, were talking comics. That, I have to amend myself, that was HISD featuring Radio Galaxy, All Day I Dream About Spacing Up. And speaking of spacing up, what's up with you? I have to give some congratulations out to you, man. Jamaica was in the house this Olympics.
Yep, just like last time.
I've been saying to anybody who won't listen, the Americans will never be good in running ever again.
They will be, man. They will be.
Nah, see, let me explain something to you, man. See, around here with the style of sagging, where you don't wear a belt. And your pants down below your ass, and you have to walk bow-legged so that sideways so that you can hold your pants up. That is not conducive to an athletic style.
That's true. I never saw it like that, but you make a good point.
Hey, we tearing down the genetics one bad clothing style at a time.
I don't know. To me, it's one of the gayest things I've ever seen, and it gets progressively worse every single year.
Yes.
I mean, back in the 90s, the jeans were big.
Right.
And they didn't sag as much.
Right.
But the pants are shrinking, and the... Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I saw a skinny jeans sagger. You know, with the tight jeans and they're below the butt with the draw showing. I swear I was like, man, if I was a sniper, I would take all y'all out.
The worst part, here's the thing. I've seen some where the jeans is tight, but the jeans itself is kind of two sizes too small for the person wearing it. So the jeans only gets right up to the person's knee. And then, oh, Jesus Christ. You wonder, who thinks of these things? Who allows them to go on the street looking like this?
I told you, if it was up to me, I would, every time you tried to walk out the house, I would shoot at you.
No, but there's a serious problem in terms of role models for these males. I mean, I understand that we have a lot of males who are simply sperm donors, but the mothers clearly are not fathering these children very well, because even though my dad died when I was young, there's no way in hell I could even think of buying something like that, much less to walk out of my mother's house with it. Plus, my dad would probably roll over in his grave.
Yeah, he would have just came out the grave. Skeleton and all. Where the hell you going?
I know, right? But these people is like, nobody gives a damn. It's like, okay, you're leaving. Okay, bye. I didn't even turn around and look at you.
Yeah.
When you go down the road, I mean, there was an accident in Jamaica maybe 2-3 years ago in my area where I live. And the cause of death was the guy's jeans. People who were there and witnessing it. The jeans was too tight for him to run across the road. Of course, he's like duck walking in the road, and the vehicle is flying down the road. That motherfucker could not make it across the road. I kid you not. I mean, it's a real accident.
Oh. Ooh. All righty then.
Death by tight pants.
Yeah. Death by, that should be on 1,000 ways to die.
You know, that reminds me of Dead Like Me. I think it was on Showtime.
The
flying toilet seats. Yeah.
Yes.
It's one of those deaths where you can't help but just laugh at the sheer craziness of it all.
Yes. And speaking of the sheer craziness of it all, can you believe Carl Lewis and his dissing of Usain Bolt and the Jamaican track team? Watch the times. They must be on something.
Carl Lewis is mad because even when his ass was on drugs, he couldn't run as fast as
him. Exactly. I'm like, was he not indicted for being on drugs?
I'm like, yeah. No, but the thing is, a lot of Americans, let's not use Justin Gatlin because that nigga's used drugs. But like Tyson Gay, he has beaten that Carl Lewis's time. I mean, he runs a lot of sub 10s. Which is better than Carl Lewis did while he was on drugs. But he's not all over the American team. He just seems hell-bent on, you know, getting himself a bit of spotlight by simply mentioning Usain Bolt constantly.
Right,
it's one
right.
of those tragic things that washed-up celebrities do.
Well, here's my thing. I mean, one, I will never forgive Carl Lewis just because of that Jericho box that he had. I was stuck on that. Two, the fact, I don't know if you remember this, but he did the national anthem and forgot the words. It is by far the funniest thing you've never seen. If you haven't seen it, I suggest, and I bring this up all the time, if you want to laugh, Google Carl Lewis and the national anthem. It is by far the funniest clip because he starts singing and he don't know the words in this, the beginning of a ball game, and they're showing all the ball players laughing. It is hilarious.
I'm definitely going to find that, and I will be posting that.
Yes, post that. That should be number one in Jamaica, laughing at Carl Lewis.
But you know, it's tragic. Because he's not the only American that doesn't know the national anthem. While you were saying that, I remembered Christina Aguilera. I think she was at the Super Bowl singing it. And she did not know the words of the national anthem. And I'm like, should we not kick these people out of the United States? How can you live in a country and not know your national anthem?
Well, I mean, it's not like you grew up singing it. The point is, if you're going to sing the song, you should know the words. I mean, I'm not going to lie and say I know it word for word, but I'm not trying to sing it either for anybody. So I'm saying if you're going to sing it, be able to bring it. Don't know the words, or at least have a teleprompter somewhere on the screen where the words is coming down so you can at least fake it.
Yeah.
Carl Lewis, big shout out to you. I'm glad that your hair balded and you had to cut it because that Jerry Curl fake box scenario that he had going on, yeah, wasn't working.
Carl Lewis is just a hater.
Yeah.
In all honesty. Because a lot of people, they see Usain Bolt on TV and they think, at least I've heard people even say it out here, that he is, what's the term? That he's hype. That he's a show-off, that type of thing. But I'm like, you've never met the dude. He's actually a really cool dude. I like to compare Usain Bolt to Stan Lee in the comics world. You know when you meet Stan, you're going to get theatrics. You're going to get a show.
Right.
It's one of the things that sets him apart from all other writers. You'll see other writers and ask for their autographs, but you'll see Stan Lee and just go buck wild crazy because, you know, he's going to be crazy. And that is him on a normal day.
Right.
Now, having met Usain Bolt, I can tell you, he's not pretending. This is literally who he is.
Well, I mean, that's great. I mean, look, he's winning. I can see celebrating when you're winning. He want to do the push-up, whatever. If you don't like it, beat him.
Simple. That's the big thing.
Now, I still have other travesties of justice that we got to talk about in the comic world.
Okay, let's get back to the comics. Before we get into the travesty, let's first talk about the stuff that's happened during AVX, stuff that is memorable. And let's save that hot topic.
Yeah. For the last you tell me what's memorable.
Well, the first thing that happened that was remotely memorable was when the Phoenix took Cyclops, Emma, Colossus, Magic, and this other person. Oh, Namor. Yeah, took the five of them as hosts instead of taking Hope when they were all on the moon. That was the first memorable thing that happened. And I think that happened in maybe issue maybe 6 or 7. 5 tops.
I think that was 5.
Yeah.
Could be mistaken.
Yeah. And then afterwards, no. The next memorable thing would have to be the Black Panther coming in and slapping Tony Stark. Let's talk about the slap of Tony Stark.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's talk about the slap. That's what I'm talking about there.
Bam. Yeah, he gave Tony Stark the pimp hand, literally, right across the face.
Yes.
Tony was being a little bitch.
Hey, I was like, he could do that every comic. I would be down.
Yeah, we should make that viral. We should do that like that Kanye thing that went viral. I'm going to let you finish. We should just juxtapose T'Challa slapping people, just slapping Green Lantern, slapping Superman, slapping everybody.
I'm down with that. I'm down with that.
And then we could just put the big headline, shut your mouth.
Yes.
That's it.
Sounds like an idea to me. We got something to talk about after the show.
And then, of course, the next thing that happened was, drum roll, please. The annulment of Black Panther and Storm's marriage in about 3 panels.
Well, first and foremost, that's my travesty. Man, don't play it out in 3 panels.
They got a whole 3 panels. Come on now. If they got 1 panel, we should be, you know, having placards on the roadside. But, I mean, they got 3 panels. That's a whole bunch of panels just for these 2 people.
Yeah. Well, I will give a shout out to my homie Jamil, who says, hey, how come the black woman get divorced in a panel and everybody else get a whole book devoted to the breakup? What's up with that?
Well, I can't tell you the thinking behind the way Marvel does it, but I can tell you up front, Black Panther and Storm's marriage was not liked by a lot of fans.
Okay.
Yeah. They hated it passionately. And I never realized how much it was hated until the annulment hit the internet. And literally, my website blew up. The Facebook page blew up. People were just like, thank you, finally. Some people are like, they were still married. It was a lot of joy from both sides. I mean, Storm fans were like, praise God. And Black Panther fans were just like, okay, the marriage really didn't boost our sales. It didn't make our character cooler. She was really just a saddlebag. I mean, for you and me, the symbolism of having the two characters together was probably the biggest selling point.
Right.
But the practical application of the marriage as a marriage did not work.
Well, yeah, if you're going to have the Black Panther chilling out in New York, protecting New York, because they obviously don't have enough heroes in New York, and Storm is hanging out in Frisco with the X-Men, that could put a little problem on a marriage, a little strain, a little bit.
I mean, that marriage had so many problems, and the biggest problem was nobody knew how to write their marriage. Besides, rest in peace, Dwayne McDuffie. McDuffie is the only person that treated that marriage with any modicum of respect. Reggie Hudlin, big shout out to him, but he did not know what to do with them after they were married.
Well,
if marriage is like what he portrayed with T'Challa and Storm, then I pray for him, because Storm just stood in the background and T'Challa just did everything. And he would often literally just place her in the background. And I'm like, is this a real marriage? I mean, I don't know about his marriage, but typical relationship, a woman would have said to T'Challa by now that Negro, please.
Right.
Standing in the background.
Right. I mean, she's more powerful than him.
Exactly.
Like, why is she like in the background? Anyway, and on top of that, I also am appalled by the fact that you know, one, people were so upset about the marriage in the first place. I'm like, so two leading characters can't be together. I mean, nobody was opposed to Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman being married.
The thing that you can't compare it to that marriage, because remember, says that marriage has been a cornerstone of the Fantastic Four. So it's hard to compare it to that. In Fantastic Four, they've always been together.
Okay.
For Black Panther and Storm, they spent more than half of their creative lives separate and apart, not related to each other at all. The first inkling that they had known each other was back when Chris Claremont was writing Uncanny. And he had, I think, Storm save T'Challa. And that was way, way back when. And then the next time they came in contact was when Christopher Priest wrote Black Panther, and that was maybe in the early 2000s or maybe in the late 90s. And then again, they didn't see each other. And then suddenly when Hudlin came in around 2005, 2006, then a lot of stuff happened. Their backstory was expounded on. Now, I liked the expansion, but a lot of people, they don't like retcons, which is simply...
I mean, but how is it a retcon? They ran into each other in Africa. They both grew up in Africa. That's not really that far-fetched. I just think people had a problem with the fact that it was Africa. Oh, we got to talk about Africa? Damn.
Oh, man. It was just, to me, it's tragic in how the relationship ended. But a lot of the problem that I had with the relationship was that it was too perfect. I mean, yes, I read superhero stories, but I ain't gonna lie. I like the relationships with the drama. I like a little Y&R sprinkled in.
Right.
No, the fact that Storm was okay with being a trophy wife, I had a problem with that.
Right.
Bored the hell out of me. Because here you're going to have a series with a husband and a wife. We're going to spend 20 pages with the husband doing God knows what. And then we're going to spend 2 pages where the wife is simply either sitting down watching the husband on TV, or they simply have one kiss and that's it. To me, there's something, you're asking for trouble there.
Well, I remember reading a book where he was training with the women that he used to have sex with. There's no wife that is going to go for that.
In his defense, he does not have sex with those women. It's purely symbolic.
Yeah, okay. Once again, I don't know any women that are like, yeah, I let my man train with these symbolically hot women in hot, musky corners in a private setting.
And don't forget they're all scantily clad.
Exactly. It's just the JJ all day, every day for the training session.
I mean, but that was one of the interesting characteristics about T'Challa that they brought up during Hudlin's run. That even though he is this awe-inspiring king, and even though these women are all throwing themselves at him, T'Challa is really a square when it comes to women. He's like a serial monogamist. I mean, those women that you talk about, if it was any other black character, Luke Cage comes to mind.
Bang, 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 bang. Oh.
That had access to all of this untapped bounty.
Untapped bounty? That's your word for it?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to call it, and that's what I'm sticking with. They would have been far more, they would have been a more entertaining character to watch. But watching a straight lace like T'Challa with these women, and he's simply treating them like soldiers, like we're all in the army and we're all dudes, that was kind of weird.
Yeah.
I mean, a certain relatability is needed to actually sell a comic book.
Right.
And T'Challa just does not seem like you or me. He never seems to look at other women. He never ogles anybody. He kind of doesn't even have any sexual energy at all.
Right.
That was one of the problems that we're having in the relationship.
Well, I mean, that's the problem you have with his character in a nutshell. He's a man. You're a virile man. I'm sorry. But, I mean, even Doctor Strange was shown to getting chicks. And you're saying an African king.
Only Christopher Priest alone explored T'Challa's sexuality. Because I remember specifically from that series, you had Monica Lynn, who he occasionally banged.
Right.
Former fiancé, I should add.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you had the three chicks, the three Dora Milaje that traveled with him. First, you had Nakia and the other one.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Then, of course, you have to remember, after he kissed one of them, she took it as meaning, you know, he wanted her, like any woman would.
Exactly.
Batshit crazy. And then he had to get rid of her, and he got another chick. And then that chick and him had this weird sexual thing going on. They weren't sleeping together, but there was clearly sexual chemistry. And then, of course, around that time was when he met back up with Storm, and they kissed, and, you know, it just seemed like T'Challa was a man, a flesh and blood, has natural urges man during Christopher Priest.
Exactly. Everybody has urges except for the King of Wakanda.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, I mean, because I'm just looking at it from a realistic aspect. He is a virile king from an independent African country that has never been conquered. He should be a god to every woman in the world, especially black women.
Exactly.
They'd be looking at him like, I just want to suck your toes.
Among other things.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. It just, to me, women should be throwing their drawers at him every time they get a chance.
They should, and that would have been an interesting point of contention in the marriage, because Storm should, like any woman, be jealous.
Right.
He should have had a problem with all of these women willing to die for her man. She should be wondering, is T'Challa stepping out on me? She should be wondering it.
Well,
but she was just completely fine with everything, and he was completely fine with everything, and that was boring.
Think about the Facebook page that he would have, the fan page, that would be created by somebody.
Oh, Lord.
You get what I'm saying? There would be whole websites. We love T'Challa. So, I mean, for me, the reality is not being touched upon.
It's not. But I think that's a problem in terms of comics in general. Black male sexuality is never touched on. I mean, they're cool with having Storm as a sex symbol for white guys, but
right. When
it's dealing with this is a black man and this is what he does, they've always tiptoed around it. I mean, only Bendis alone dealt with it very poignantly when he was writing Luke Cage along with Alias, which starred Jessica Jones. Or was it Jessica Drew? I always get those two Jessicas.
It is Jessica Jones. Jessica Drew is Spider-Woman.
It's Spider-Woman. Okay, Jessica Jones. I mean, I would tell everybody to go out, every black comic fan, to buy the Cage series that was released under Marvel the Marvel Maxi imprint, I believe it was. It was, this is how I thought that Luke Cage would operate. This is Luke Cage before the marriage, operating just in an urban setting. He's at titty bars. He's having sex with a bunch of different women every night.
Exactly.
Even when him and Jessica hooked up, I mean, I remember I was just going through the series, I believe, a couple months ago. And she's drunk. She's at his bar. And he simply carries her home, has sex with her, doesn't think anything else of it, and life just moves on. And then she gets pregnant. And she comes over to his house to tell him that she's pregnant, and he already has another woman in the house. So it becomes an interesting dynamic where she isn't quite sure if she should tell this man because, you know, there's not exactly anything special going on between them. They just kind of had sex and they're friends already, and well, yeah, it gets complicated.
Well, not only that, but he should have a bunch of kids. I know it ain't, it shouldn't be done as the stereotype, but how come the superheroes don't have kids floating around?
That's another big thing. The only series I've seen that dealt with progeny properly. I don't think you've read Dynamo 5. I think it's released on the Image Comics imprint.
No, I can't say that I have.
You need to pick up Dynamo 5. In Dynamo 5, they have their Superman type character, and he's married. And this dude has like a million different kids. It's like every time he rescues a woman, he has sex with her. So Dynamo 5 is like five of his children coming together to form a superhero team.
Well, that's thank you for saving him.
Well, he got a lot of thanks because he has half black kids, half Asian kids, white kids, half alien kids. And you're like, man, this dude, he got around.
He's living the life. He's like, how can I thank you for saving me? Let me take you home and we can talk about it. And on that note, I want to thank BH. I want to thank you, BH, for coming on the show, man. As always, it's been a blast to talk comics with you. And tell the people real quick where they can catch you at.
Yeah, you guys can catch me at worldofblackheroes.com or on Facebook/Black Heroes.
All right. And with that, we want to once again thank my man BH for coming on. Don't forget also, when you go to his website, go to the store and don't just look, buy something. That's very important. Buy something. And on that note, hey, thank y'all for listening. And for my main man, BH, I am Mr. F the N Word. And this is a special Smooth Drama production. And we're out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.